good evening. Well, you can be listening to this anytime you like, so I guess I can't say good evening. Good day? Good night? Howdy! Welcome to the very first Mike Circular File audio magazine. I'm delighted to have you with me, and I hope you'll enjoy the program. But first, let's get things started with some appropriate theme music, if you please. No, that's just goofy. Turn that off. I don't care what you just bought. This audio magazine is a serious undertaking, and we're not going to resort to stupid gimmicks. Now, how about something a little more sophisticated? Ah, that's better. Again, I'm happy to welcome you to our first audio magazine. I'm Mike Pontillo, and I'll be your guide to the history of interesting and obscure music. But first, we need to clear the air about something. You may wonder why I'm calling this an audio magazine when everyone else uses the term podcast. Well, I don't like the term podcast. It's proprietary and misleading, and seems to assume that the iPod is the only MP3 player out there. It's not. I don't use an iPod, and I don't particularly care for them either. They're too simple. I like lots of buttons. I'm a tech weenie. You guys can have your smooth, elegant, streamlined interface. I'd just as soon have a full-size keyboard attached to the thing. And I also get suspicious of companies that like to throw their weight around. Apple has been picking on their third-party accessory manufacturers, reminding them that iPod is a trademark and they can't use it in the names of their products or services. Plus, Apple has dictated that they can't even refer to it as an iPod anymore. It's an Apple iPod device. Apple is now number 3 on my list of major corporate jerkwads, right after Microsoft and the Recording Industry Association of America. So until someone comes up with a better term, or we all just knuckle under and give Apple credit they don't deserve, I'm calling it an audio magazine. The music we're going to explore on this program is stuff that I loved as a kid and that you probably never heard of. The music you're hearing right now is an example. The song is called Something for Nothing by the group MFSB. They're much better known for the song on the other side of the record, TSOP, or The Sound of Philadelphia, a big hit for them in 1973. But I've got a little story to tell you about Something for Nothing. Now, I don't mean to sound like Al Gore here, but whether you call it an audio magazine or a podcast or whatever, I have to tell you that I invented it. That's right. Back in 1974, as a boy of 10, my hobby was to record radio shows with my portable cassette recorder and microphone. I'd put a little on-air sign on my bedroom door to keep people from knocking, and I'd set up the microphone and my stereo speakers on top of the dresser and play DJ. When we went to music, I'd cue up a record and turn the mic toward the speakers. These were, in essence, podcasts. I mean, audio magazines. The only thing missing was an internet to distribute the programs. Sadly, I destroyed all the tapes as an adolescent, in the fear that their discovery would make my teenage years that much more awkward and humiliating. But one detail I do remember is the theme music I used for my shows. That's right, it was Something for Nothing. And now, 30 years later, look how far I've come. I have better equipment now. Anyway, it's only appropriate that we lead off with the same theme song. So let's get started with the program. The first song I'd like to present to you is one of my very favorite records from my childhood. In 1969, Buddha Records released an album called Journey to the Moon, an audio documentary on the Apollo 11 mission with original music. The title cut was released as a single and credited to a group named Genesis. This was not the Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins Genesis, but rather a studio group led by John Madeira, a songwriter and producer who had co-written such hits as At the Hop for Danny and the Juniors and You Don't Own Me, the biggest hit single for Leslie Gore, the most popular tormented lesbian pop singer of the 60s. Madeira's team included Len Barry, best known for his 1965 hit 1-2-3, and arranger Tom Sellers, later a member of the band Gulliver with Daryl Hall, before Hall teamed up with John Oates to form Hall & Oates, whose first two albums were produced by Kevin Bacon. No, it was John Madeira. See how it all ties together? Anyway, Journey to the Moon is a terrific example of production music from that era with just a bit of a psychedelic flavor. I really like this record. Here now, from 1969, Journey to the Moon.
earth was without form and voice, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
I am so glad to be able to share that with you. Now, I have to tell you how it came into my possession. No, I didn't buy it in a record store. I got it, and this is the honest to God's truth, as a free prize in a box of potato chips. Talk about serendipity. Now, while I was doing my research on the internet, I found out about a song reportedly very similar to Journey to the Moon. The song is called The World of Gorillas and Monkeys by Brian England. That's England with an I. It's a tribute to the movie Planet of the Apes, warning us about the future once gorillas and monkeys take over the planet. Well, when I heard this, I knew I had to track down this record. And believe it or not, I did. The 45 came in the mail just last week. Take a listen and see if you think this song has something in common with Journey to the Moon. Here's Brian England, The World of Gorillas and Monkeys.
A big mistake, always starting a war. The way things are going, I'm sure. One of these days, we're gonna blow ourselves up. that I'm laughing too. 'Cause I know what's waiting for you. We're gonna blow ourselves up.
Wow. Out of all the Planet of the Apes tribute songs, that is definitely one of them. But I see that look on your face. Yes, I do. You're thinking, that's 3 minutes of my life that I will never get back. Don't look at it that way. You've just had a life-enriching experience. Your life, as it existed before hearing the song The World of Gorillas and Monkeys, is but a memory. You are forever changed. Just part of the service we provide. You're welcome. Now, my first reaction on hearing that song was, where does this Brian England guy get off ripping off an existing record, altering it slightly, and passing it off as his own song? A good 25 years before rap and hip-hop made that standard procedure. Well, as it turns out, the record label reads, produced by John Madeira and Len Barry. So they ripped themselves off. They reused their own track to make a new record. Guess we have to let Brian England off the hook. But Mike, you ask, which record came first? Good question. The short answer is, I don't know. But the long answer is much more interesting, at least to me. Bear with me as we venture deep into the bowels of music history. Neither record shows a release date, but Journey to the Moon is listed in the Buddha Records catalog as a 1969 release, and obviously it had to be produced after the Apollo 11 mission, which was in July. So, Journey to the Moon had to be made between late July and the end of 1969. As far as the world of Gorillas and Monkeys, the biggest clue we have is that the single was issued on the Mala Records label, which was absorbed by its parent label, Bell Records, in 1970. The last single bearing the Mala label was issued in the fall of 1969, and the release number on Gorillas and Monkeys indicates that it was released very near the end of the catalog. The movie Planet of the Apes was released in 1968, so we know that the song had to be produced somewhere in that window between the release of the film and the demise of the Mala Records label. Logically, it seems to me that the way we hear the track on Journey to the Moon is the way it was originally produced, and then it was sped up and reused for the Gorilla song. But it could have been the other way around. What we can say is, it's definitely the same instrumental bass track on both records, and both records were most likely released right around the same time in 1969. And if you're still bemoaning the 3 minutes of your life you wasted listening to that song, just think about how much time I spent compiling this useless information. Yes, it sucks to be me. Well, we're not even halfway through our first audio magazine, and already the email messages are pouring in. So let's take a moment to hear from you, the listener. Our first message is from Mike P. of Buffalo Grove, Illinois, who writes, "Dear Mike, I've been listening to this audio magazine right from the get-go, and I absolutely love what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and keep them coming." Hey, Mike, thanks for taking the time to write in and share your comments. You sound like a man of excellent taste. Here's a message from Josephine L. of West Des Moines, Iowa. "Dear Michael, your little audio magazine is very clever, and I'm very proud of you. Unfortunately, I'm having a problem with my computer, and I can't hear any sound. Can you take a look at it the next time you come down? Love, Mom. P.S. You are still looking for a job, aren't you?" Thanks for writing in, Mom. Ooh, here's an email message all the way from Africa. "Dear Mr. Pontillo, my name is Ade Ojederon. I am top official of the government contract review panel who seek to import goods into our country with funds which are presently trapped in Nigeria. We solicit your assistance to enable us transfer into your account the said trapped funds." Looks like this audio magazine has paid for itself already. Mr. Ojederon, if you're still listening, I'll be getting right back to you with the information you requested. Cha-ching! Next, we have an email from Stephanie F. of Chicago. She writes, "Dear Mike, your podcast sure is groovy, and I mean that in an ironic teenage sense, but I do want to thank you for helping me make a big decision. I know that you majored in broadcasting, and since I'm starting college myself next year, I'm definitely going to major in something else. I'd sure hate to wake up one day and realize that I'm just a pathetic 40-something radio wannabe. Your pal, Steph." Well, Steph, thank you for sharing your hopes and dreams with me. You know, there's no greater gift in life than to serve as an inspiration to young people, and I'm very proud to help you make those major life decisions. Good luck! Finally, we hear from Nancy S. of Montrose, Colorado. "Dear Mike, after hearing your first audio magazine so far, I just have to ask, what the hell are you doing? Are you out of your mind or just hopelessly stuck in the past? You sound like a radio air check from 1971. Well, Nancy, I guess that's one way to look at it. You could see me as 35 years out of date and totally square, but in fact, I'm retro, which is hip.
Solid gold!
That's all the mail we have time for right now, but we'd certainly like to hear from you at the Circular File. The email address is mcf_webmaster@comcast.net. We'll be right back with more music trivia and more trivial music after this commercial break.
Do you suffer from chronic depression? Do you find it difficult to complete even simple tasks because you spend most of your time trying to kill yourself? Hi, I'm Phil Downer, president of Depression Awareness and Management. DAM works on many fronts to fight depression, from providing information and treatment services to preventing the release of a new Pauly Shore film in nearly 3 years. But we need your help to continue this success. We'll be holding our third annual Depression Days fundraiser next Saturday in Choctaw Ridge, Mississippi. Join us and celebrity guest Robbie Benson for games, fun, and exciting contests, including the Depression Decathlon. Watch clinically depressed people compete in games of endurance and skill. It's just as entertaining as it sounds. The Depression Decathlon replaces the paintball competition, which was a bit of a disappointment last year when all the contestants eliminated themselves within 15 seconds. The Depression Decathlon winds up with an exciting bungee jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge. For more details, give us a call at 1-800-555-6673. That's 1-800-555-MOPE.
Our next featured track is one of my favorite early 70s tunes that doesn't get a whole lot of airplay anymore. In 1962, 22-year-old Timmy Thomas was awarded a scholarship to study music at Indiana University's Stan Kenton Jazz Clinic. After graduating, he moved to Memphis and began recording both under his own name and as a backup musician for Stax Records. His work failed to attract much attention, and Thomas returned to college, earning a degree in music education and going into teaching. He moved to Florida in 1970 and became the first black businessman to open a lounge bar in the exclusive Miami Beach district. It was here, in Timmy's Lounge Bar, that Thomas, using only his Lowry organ and a rhythm machine, recorded "Why Can't We Live Together" as a demo track for music producer Steve Alimo. The intent had been to take the demo track into the studio to add additional instrumentation, but Alimo realized that the tune was a complete record by itself, and the recording was released as is as a single on the Glades label in 1972. It sold over 2 million copies and was the number one record on the R&B chart for 2 weeks, peaking at number 3 on the pop chart. Here's Timmy Thomas with "Why Can't We Live Together."
Thank you.
Once the single took off, Thomas quickly recorded a Why Can't We Live Together album with 9 additional songs, all recorded in the same manner, with Thomas's Lowry organ and drum machine the only instruments. You heard the album version of the title track. It's about a minute longer than the single version. Timmy Thomas went on to release 4 more albums between 1974 and 1980, but was never able to duplicate the success of his first major hit. By the way, Thomas is still active in the business, most recently as part of the ensemble backing up British teen vocalist Joss Stone on her 2003 release, The Soul Sessions. Meanwhile, Why Can't We Live Together has gradually emerged as an R&B standard and has been covered by musicians such as Sade, Lucky Peterson, and Joan Osborne. The song's anti-war and anti-racism themes still resonate strongly, and Why Can't We Live Together is just as relevant today as it was in 1972. So it's only fitting that it was covered by our next artist, who is surely one of the most talented men to ever lay hands on an organ. I guess I could have phrased that better. Anyway, Steve Winwood made his recording debut with the Spencer Davis Group at the age of 15 and has now been performing and releasing records for 40 years. Winwood is featured here on the Hammond B3 organ from his 2003 album, About Time.
are still my brother. Everybody wants to live together. Why can't we live together?
That wraps it up for our first audio magazine. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Depression Awareness and Management, for providing the psychotropic drugs that made this program possible. I'd also like to give a serious plug to Record Finder in Richmond, Virginia, quite possibly the finest record store in the nation. Visit them on the web at recordfinders.com. But I'm afraid they no longer have a copy of The World of Gorillas and Monkeys in stock, because I already bought it. All music tracks featured on this program have been released by record labels that are not affiliated with the Recording Industry Association of America. Therefore, this audio magazine and its contents are not subject to RIAA jurisdiction. So there! Thanks for listening, and please share your bouquets and brickbats with me at mcf_webmaster@comcast.net. Tell me what you think and whether or not I should ever do this again. This is Mike Pontillo wishing you good night, see ya!